Hey friends, welcome back to another Stamp With Us podcast. I'm Simon Hurley and I'm here with
Rena Kay.
And we are so excited today because we have special guest Christina Warner.
We have someone else to sit between me and Simon. It's not just our elbows hitting each other anymore.
Can
both hit her with our elbows. But yes, we are very excited that you came all the way to our studio to help us film and craft with us and give us some insight on your journey in the stamping community, and we are very excited.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah.
So why did you come down to cold Wisconsin at this time of year?
It is very cold. It's true. I was here to help support my friend Kathy Rickhusen. She has her coloring challenge currently going as we're filming this today. It's during her coloring challenge. And so she was here at the Gina K Design store in Greendale, Wisconsin, and she taught 2 days of classes. And so I just got to sit in the back of the room and just enjoy. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm here.
Yeah, it's been really awesome. Kathy was doing such a great job. And we actually have a live studio audience of them today. So you'll probably be seeing them in future episodes as well, which is really exciting.
Or popping up behind us.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, quiet on set. The artists here have to work. Best artists in the stamping industry watching. Right now, it's fine. But today we are going to be stamping and coloring with different coloring mediums. Going to show off some of those skills that we learned at Kathy Rickhusen's class. And yeah, I say we just get right into it.
Mm-hmm. So if you're listening to the podcast, you'll hear us talking, and you'll hear Christina's story and answering the questions. And if you're watching along with us, you can see us coloring and you can hear the story as well. So be sure to check out the link down below if you're watching on YouTube and you want to download the podcast.
And subscribe to Christina if you haven't
done
that already.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I'm at YouTube at K Warner Design. Also at Instagram, Star of May. People ask me why it is Star of May. It's because I was born in May and I love stars.
Me too.
So
we'll have all of her links down below as well, so you can check out her awesome work. And over on Instagram too, she has some really awesome hand lettering and all of her projects too, which is really great.
Thank you. If anyone's wondering, my version of Christina's Instagram handle would be Buffalo Wing of September. What's yours?
Well, mine's May too, but I don't know.
What do you like? Well, you like bears.
I do like bears. Bear of May or like Adidas of May. It's a little bit of a problem.
Buffalo Wing of September might be a little hard to fit in the handle.
You can have a really long Instagram name.
Yeah.
You can have a really long one, so you probably could do it.
We'll give it a shot.
What's the stamp set?
Floral.
It's Friendship Blooms.
Okay.
And this was a special stamp set that Gina K released in conjunction with Hero Arts for their 45th anniversary.
Which is awesome. I love to see the companies collaborate, and it's really awesome to see Hero Arts kind of joining up with different companies this year.
So these are cut a little unevenly, but it's just because there's a lot more concentration of flowers in the center, and I need to show my skills, too. They gave me the least busy image, so good on them. But I'll be using colored pencils. You'll be using Copics, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be using Tombow markers.
Okay.
And to be completely honest, I'm the one who cut this apart, and I really do have measuring skills, I promise, but I wanted to make sure each of us had some flowers to color,
mm-hmm.
so
mm-hmm.
had to cut a little bit unevenly.
Awesome. So let's get started with our first question. I think we ask pretty much every guest this, but we want to know a little bit more about your background, kind of how you started in the industry, maybe when you started, and kind of talk a little bit about that.
We call it your origin story.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, am I like a Marvel superhero?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Star of May.
Here we go.
Sidekick Buffalo Wing of September. Coming in hot.
Okay. Well, I have a little bit of a different start because a lot of people who become kind of like a professional crafter, I guess you could say, start out with the crafting, but I didn't. I was hired by Stampin' Up! Straight out of college. I have a degree in graphic design. Mm. And I was designing their catalog. In fact, when I showed up for my interview, I had never heard of them. I was completely clueless. I'd never heard of Stampin' Up. And I was freshly out of college. Like, I had graduated Saturday, and my interview was Tuesday. So it was really fast. And I expected to pull up to, like, this little dinky little warehouse. And, like, you know, maybe they're, mm-hmm. like, you know, there's like 10 employees or something. Oh, no. It was this huge, beautiful building. And I was like, what is this? Anyway, so I went in and I interviewed and I looked at their catalog because the position was to design their catalog. And so I looked at their catalog and I was like, oh, this is not my grandmother's crafting from yesteryear where it's all mm-hmm. cuddly bears and bows. And, you know, that's a style that, that's pretty, but it's not my style per se. So I was not into that type of crafting. But at that time, this was 2005, concurrently in the industry, Basic Gray had started, and they were doing a very, very different style of scrapbooking. They had really grungy papers, and I think this was not too far from when Tim Holtz started his stuff. So there was kind of a rebirth in the crafting industry. Mm-hmm. Like, it really turned the industry on its head. The styles were changing.
The stamping renaissance.
The stamping renaissance. A little bit, you know. People, and it was bringing in fresh eyes and fresh crafters into the industry. And so when I looked at their catalog, I was like, dude, like, this is actually some really cute stuff. And so I would go to work during the day, and I would design on the computer. And then I would go home at night, and I would craft on my own.
That's awesome.
So that's how I started. That's how I started crafting.
That's really cool. That's cool to hear that you got your start, like, kind of designing the
the catalog, yeah.
That's really cool to hear that you...
I know, right? They're too young.
That's cool to hear that you got your start kind of designing that, though, and then saw the products and kind of fell in love with that. Because I feel like you said, a lot of people have that, like, thought that, oh, it's kind of like an older thing, or that style is not really for me, but there's so many different styles that you can do, which is really awesome.
Yeah, once you go out and see what people are doing, it can be really inspiring. And I love, that's why I love, like, you guys, like, fresh eyes, fresh crafters into the industry, because you don't know the whole history, so everything is fresh and new to you.
But, like, that's kind of how I feel. Like, feel like I've told this before, but when I got done with swim and I needed to find something to do, and my mom showed me stamping and, like, the hobby, I totally had the same thought where I was like, I don't think it'll really appeal to, like, my style or anything like that. And then she was like, well, look at it. Just take a look. And then I saw all the stuff, and I was like, it looks so fun and new and pretty and cute. And I fell in love with it, too.
It's a slippery slope. You start crafting, your
whole life gets...
You go down a hole then.
Yeah.
In one of the episodes, we said that crafting was cheaper than therapy, but we realized it was just because we know...
I retract that.
It's probably not.
As of now, yeah.
It's probably not.
But speaking of rabbit holes and diving down them, how did you get into YouTube? Mm-hmm. How did your YouTube career start?
Well, like I said, I was crafting at home, and I've always kind of been online. Like, I was online in the late 90s. They called it online journaling. This was before blogging. This was like, you're writing code in your basement.
Oh my God.
Because there's not even anything like WordPress or Movable Type or TypePad, anything like that. It's like old school. So, but I had like an online journal. I was writing a lot. I was into creative writing in high school. So I have a little bit of that like internet background.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I started crafting, my first thought was, well, I want to show this online. I want to have some sort of website where I can show what I'm working on. So I had a blog, and using a bunch of different products, not just Stampin' Up. And people were asking me questions about what I was doing. And the very first video I ever did was tying a knot in ribbon. And I did it because, like, I would go into work, and there were all these amazing crafters who were making the cards and the scrapbook pages for our catalogs. And they were tying these knots, and they were beautiful. And I'm like, how are you doing this? Like, I tie my knot, and it's all turned over funny, and it doesn't look right.
I know that feeling.
Yeah. And so I asked them, and one of them taught me how to tie a knot. And so then I started tying knots on my cards with ribbon, and people were asking me, how do you tie a knot like that? And I was like, well, you like this strand. And I was like, I can't describe this. There is no way.
Yeah.
At the same time, I started watching YouTube. This was the very beginning YouTube. I think I was really early on watching YouTube, and iJustine, if you're a YouTube person, right?
Yes, of course.
She was doing video, and she was saying she was just using her little point-and-shoot camera, and I was like, huh, I wonder if I could do that. So my very first video was literally me with my little point-and-shoot camera wedged under my chin like this.
Oh, my gosh.
And, like, you know, like, trying to, like, tie a knot because I had no idea what I was doing. So I did that one video, and I got such a good response that I was like, you know, I think I just want to turn on a camera and just make something.
Mm-hmm.
So then I graduated from wedging it under my chin to duct taping it to a lamp.
Oh.
So and it was like one of those like arm lamps, you know, that you can move around.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I could put it over my crafting area. So I did that.
How ingenuitous. You could probably make a video on how you used to mount your camera.
Maybe.
That would be pretty interesting.
It was a very rough time.
My first camera mount was a jar of peanut butter on my desk.
You do what you have to do.
Yeah, definitely.
And then a lamp blinding me.
Mine was like this broken tripod that we use for like a star, like where you see the stars. Uh-huh. You attach to that. So I pulled that thing off. I like taped my camera onto there and had it like above my desk. It's awful, but it's like we all kind of start from that one area where we don't have anything, but you want to test it out, which I think is cool.
Yeah, and people watching don't know what your camera's sitting on.
They have no idea what behind the camera looks like, the chaos right before.
Well, I mean, people are like, oh, your craft room must always be so neat and tidy because your craft mat is like that. No, 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 honey. Mm-mm. Like, if I zoom out that camera, it is like chaos.
Disappointment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A messy room is the sign of, what is it?
Who doesn't craft.
Well, it's some Einstein quote about how if you're messy, that means you have a creative mind or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I might heard that. I will adopt that sentiment. Thank you. Okay, I have to explain these colors I'm using because they're sort of working. But I have this random container of Copics.
They're mine.
I have no idea the reason for each one of these. But Kathy, like we mentioned earlier with her coloring challenge, she has a tip that she recommends that you do, especially if you're traveling, where you color pluck, meaning you're just plucking out different colors, and then you challenge yourself to use them. So I'm kind of doing that today.
I just threw these two colors together, and they probably shouldn't go together, so it's not looking like too hot. But
no, I like it.
I honestly was trying to copy Christina.
I kind of like it.
It doesn't look like it.
Yeah, I like it. It's like an autumn.
I'm like struggling to blend.
No, it looks good. I think this is one of those moments when you walk away and come back
definitely.
In a half hour, you're like, oh, I'm going to have to
walk back. Sometimes things also have to, like, look worse before they get better.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
sure.
I feel that with, like, my eyebrows or, like, my nails when I'm doing them, like, mm-hmm. halfway through, and I'm like, girl, these look real bad. And then, like, I walk away an hour later after I've given up, and then they look fine.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Totally.
Kind of the boat I'm in today. Let me know if they look fine.
Well, it's like, I mean, with a recent example, I don't know when this, you know, podcast and video are going up, but I have a video that's going up tomorrow on my YouTube channel, part of my holiday card series, and it has these little gnomes, and they're on action wobblers, and they kind of dance around. And when I was painting the background for that card, and I'll send you guys an image. You can put it, like, in the video so you can see what I'm talking about. I was painting the background. I was like, oh, no. This is bad. And it's like you're painting the whole thing and you've painted for like a half hour, 45 minutes. And you're like, I wasted my time doing this. But I was like, well, that's okay. This will, you know, I'll chalk it up to experience. This will be my practice run.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, once I actually got the gnomes on there and I finished coloring, I kind of liked it. So it worked out. So sometimes you just have to stay the course and at least get to the point where things start coming together. I think sometimes crafters might give up a little bit too soon. Like, just keep trying. And like they say, paper has two sides. Flip that over.
Mm-hmm.
And like I like to say, unless you've already messed up on the other side.
Good point.
You need a new piece of paper.
Good point.
But I totally get that. Like, sometimes I'll, like, be doing a project and I'll just get so frustrated and just leave, but then I'll come back and one part of the project that I started was actually the best part. Like, my mom and I recently tried paint pouring. I'll put a picture up of one of our most recent paint pours.
So fun.
And it was actually our first one that we liked the most because we were like, well, let's just try everything. We'll throw it all together and just see how it looks. And that one ended up being our best one. And after we started overthinking everything, that's when it started to go south. And so sometimes you just gotta trust and let the art do its thing.
Yeah, definitely. So you talked a little bit about your holiday card series. Can you tell us kind of a little bit more info about that so people can check it out and kind of see what you've been doing over there and maybe when you started it? Because I think I've seen those for quite a while, which is really awesome.
Yeah, this is my 11th year. I've been doing it since 2009. So, and initially I sort of just gave myself a challenge. I was working full time when I started it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, you know, I wonder if I could make 25 Christmas card videos. And at the time, I said I want to upload them Monday through Friday, 5 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Straight.
That's a lot.
And I don't know how I did it because I actually pre-filmed all 25 and then it started in October and it went all the way through to mid-November.
Oh, my God.
But I had all 25 pre-filmed. And nowadays, that's not happening. So I think it was about probably 5 or 6 years ago, I realized I just couldn't do it. You know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So I switched to a different schedule where I upload Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And so I'm in the middle of it right now. So it started, the end of October, right for Halloween, and I upload Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8 a.m. Mountain Time, and it's all holiday cards. Because I don't know about you guys, but I really think the holidays are where card makers shine. Because everyone, I mean, even if you aren't a card maker and you don't send cards to the year very often, you might send a Christmas card.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's that like perfect time of year. It's always my favorite time too, because there's always like tons of new products coming out, and it's just like the perfect time to be able to send those cards to and get them out in the mail, which is awesome. Do you make all the same holiday Christmas card, or do you send out, you know, the different ones that you made during the series?
I did the ones from the series. Sometimes, because my Christmas card list has grown over the years, I will usually a couple of times during the holiday card series, I'll have a video where I make like four or five of the same card.
Oh, nice.
So if it's a simple card or if it's just easy to make, I might do that, and I'll do them all at the same time, because I'd much rather make all those cards when I have all the supplies out all at the same time. First time around. I'd much rather do it the first time around than having to break all the supplies out again later and make it all again.
Yeah, definitely. If you have the stuff out, it's really easy to make a couple of them, which is awesome. So you're also behind some of the really awesome designs at one of the companies, Simon Says Stamp. Can you talk a little bit more about kind of how you got involved with them and kind of licensing your designs to them?
So the owner of Simon Says Stamp, her name's Heidi. She got to know my friend Jennifer McGuire really well, and Jennifer recommended to Heidi. She said, hey, why don't you contact my friend Christina, because she's a graphic designer and she could probably do some work for you. And so Heidi emailed me back in 2011, and you know, Jennifer had given me a heads up saying that Heidi was going to contact me, so I knew this might happen. But Heidi emailed me and said, I'm just looking for a graphic designer to do some, you know, like online ads and not even product design, but just like graphic design for the business. And I was more than happy to do some telecommuting, because at the time I had a long commute driving into Basic Gray. After I worked at Stampin' Up, I worked at Basic Gray, but they were not in my city. I had to drive quite a ways to get to work. And so to not have to drive and to just walk 5 feet down the hall,
a lot nicer.
I was all over that. So I started working for Simon, and a couple months after I'd been designing for Heidi at Simon, she said that years ago she had had a little bit of a product line, not very many products, but just enough that they had a few in the store, and she was hoping that she could bring that back. And so it just started out with just a little card kit. I did a little tiny 3x4 stamp set, and it's just grown from there. And then eventually back in 2014, I left Simon as a full-time employee, and now I freelance design for them.
That's awesome to hear that you are kind of behind some of those sets. A lot of the sets that I think they get in the kits you've designed, which is really cool, and some of your hand lettering is in there, which is just beautiful, which is great.
Thank you.
How did you get into hand lettering?
In high school, I was on the literary magazine staff, and there was a girl that was on the staff with me that she had the most beautiful handwriting. Turns out she had been doing calligraphy since she was 12.
Oh.
And so she would go up on the whiteboard and like write out her poetry and whatever. And I was like, oh my word, Coco, your handwriting's amazing. How did you get into this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And she said, oh, it's just calligraphy and, you know, it's really fun or whatever. And she also had kind of a, almost like a pen pal situation with a friend, where they lived in the same city, but they would send postcards to each other with haikus on them. And so she started decorating her postcards and things like that. And she was a year older than me, so she was about to graduate. And I was like, you got to show me your ways. Like, what is going on here, right? And so Leslie, another friend in my class with, you know, the literary magazine class, she said, hey, there's this calligraphy class, like a night class. It's like a continuing education class through the school district. Why don't we sign up for it and we'll go take this class? I'm like, I'm there. So we took a calligraphy class, and it was very traditional calligraphy with the like the nib you put in the pen and you're dipping it in ink. And it wasn't a pointed pen calligraphy. It was italic calligraphy. So it has like the chisel tip.
Okay.
And so we took that class at night, and then I was hooked from there. And I was kind of always a little bit artistic growing up. So my mom was really, really supportive. Like for Christmas that year, she went out and bought me a drawing table because she went to the art store and asked them, like, what do calligraphers need? And they said they need a drawing table. So she bought me a really simple drawing table. And that drawing table lasted forever until I finished my craft room back in 2016. That was the table I was filming my videos on.
Oh, my God. Wow.
I just, like, instead of having it tipped up, I made it flat, and that's what I filmed on.
Oh, that's awesome. So cool.
This flower looks atrocious. Like, what is going on with this flower?
Oh, I just spilled the...
You spilled Gamsol?
Oops.
That is why Kathy does not use Gamsol.
Yeah. Right there, Kathy's like, mm-hmm. That's why, right there.
I don't know if we all finish our coloring.
We all might be done. Oh, well, let's put it together. Well, this is cool. This turned out really cool. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah, it's cool to see all the different colors and styles.
In a weird way, it kind of works.
Yeah. In a weird way, it works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just like we work together.
To finish off my lettering calligraphy story, I did the one class in high school, and then I got online because, you know, like I said before, I was like into the whole online blogging thing. And anyway, I found this really cool group on Yahoo Groups back in the day. Mm-hmm. They were a calligraphy guild, and they were all over the world, and they did an envelope exchange. And so I did a bunch of envelope exchanges when I was still at home in high school, also in college. So for every place I lived, like my home back in Utah, to all my apartments in college, the dorms or whatever, I had different envelopes that had come from people all over the world with my address
on
it.
That's so fun.
Yeah, it was really amazing. And I remember seeing, there was a woman, I think she may have passed, which is really sad, but her name was Nan DeLuca. She lived in New York City, and she did beautiful wedding calligraphy on envelopes and invitations and things like that.
That's awesome.
And she was in Martha Stewart weddings, like, multiple times.
Oh, wow.
And I remember flipping through the magazines and seeing her name. I'm like, I know her. And I had envelopes from her, like, in my collection.
Oh, wow.
That's
it was
really cool.
That's crazy. That's so cool.
So that's where my mail art obsession started as well, was doing those envelope exchanges.
Yeah, that's cool that there's a little community behind them, too.
Oh,
that
yeah.
They have that whole little community, and they're sending each other envelopes, which is awesome.
And you didn't have to put anything special in the envelopes. Like, people were putting in postcards or, like, pamphlets from local hotels. Like, you wanted the envelope. You didn't want anything inside of it. So some people sent empty envelopes, too.
That is so cool.
Yeah, it was fun.
I always wanted to get into calligraphy, but after, it was too bad.
It's never too late. Right, you can do it. You can do it. Anyone can. Because even if you have bad handwriting, you can be a good calligrapher because it's completely separate. Like, if you're, I mean, you're good with art, you're good with, like, coloring, that would translate to lettering.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To calligraphy.
So let's talk about one more thing. You have two little kitties.
I do.
Sophie and Daphne. Can you talk a little bit more about them, like, kind of what kind they are? And
they are American short hair cats. And when my last cat, Manny, when he died, I was looking at different types of cats and different things that, you know, I wanted a tabby cat that was gray for sure. And so I was looking at different breeds, and I contacted this breeder in Seattle asking about, like, just any information. And she said, well, go ahead and fill out this form and I'll let you know. And this form was like 10 pages long.
Oh,
she was serious. It was like she wanted to know where these cats were going. Mm-hmm. And so I filled out the form and I sent it in. And then she wrote back and said, well, the waiting list for a kitten is 2 years long, but I do have these two older cats that have come back to me. Like, their previous owners adopted two Pomeranian puppies, and the puppies freaked the cats out, and so they gave the cats away.
Oh,
my thought was, the cats were there first.
Yeah, seriously.
Anyway, their loss is my gain. So I messaged her back, and I was like, oh my gosh, can you text me some pictures of these cats? So she sent pictures of Sophie and Daphne, and the minute I saw them, I'm like, those are my kitties.
Yeah.
So at the time, they were 6 and 8 years old, and my mom and I flew out to Seattle and brought the cats home.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So fun.
And they are adorable. Like, I'm allergic to cats, but I love seeing them on your Instagram and stories and things like that. They're just two little adorable
They're so
cats.
Sweet. And if any of you out there, like, have animals, you know that, like, as they get older, they generally become even more cuddly. So they're at that, like, cuddly, snuggly stage. It's amazing.
It's the best.
They just want to, like, hug you and be around you all the time. So it's
awesome.
Amazing. And they just turned 13 and 11.
Aww.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So they're getting up there.
Cuddly.
Nice. They don't look like it, though. They look very young.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we had so much fun chatting with Christina and learning a little bit more about her story and kind of what she does here. Can you let people know again where they can find you?
Sure. Thanks for having me today. I am over at K Werner Design here at YouTube, or if you're listening, you can go to YouTube and I'm K Werner Design. And at Instagram, my name is Star of May.
And again, I'll have all of her links down below and I'll link to her in the show notes as well. So if you're listening to the podcast, just open up the little details and you can find all of her stuff there.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah, definitely.
This was so much fun. We'll post pictures of all of our colorings put together. And yeah, thank you so much again. This was so much fun.
Okay. Well, I'll say bye together and then you say have a great day first.
Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, should I say it?
Simon. Somebody say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye,
everyone.
Guys.
Bye.